Okay, tonight is Monday night, November 14th. This is the Gemara Share. We're up to Moed Katan, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the Mishnah Osin Ma'ake L'Gag. Okay, Rabotai. The Mishnah says, on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Osin Ma'ake L'Gag. You are permitted to make a fence around a roof. The Torah tells us in Parshas Kisetzeh that Kisivne Bayis Chadash, should you build a new house, V'osisa Ma'ake L'Gagecha, V'lo Kipol Hanofel Mimenu, V'lo Tasim Damim Beveisecha, Kipol Hanofel Mimenu. When you build a house, make sure that you put a fence around the roof, because in case anybody falls off and loses their life, you, through your house, will have been responsible for their blood. So the way to make sure, lo tasim damim beveisecha, don't put any blood on your house, is to make sure that you put a ma'ake around on the perimeter of the roof. So the Mishnah says, you're allowed to make a ma'ake for a gag and for a mirpeset. Like a porch, you know, like a regular porch. Even though in the time of the Mishnah, the mirpeset was not exactly the way we call a mirpeset today in Medinat Yisrael, just a porch. It was a little walking area, actually only in between floors. So if you had a two-family house, which the Mishnah calls a bayis and an aliyah, the second floor is called an aliyah, so in between the bayis and the aliyah, there was this little thing jutting out. That's where they had the mirpeset, not off the dining room or something like that. That's not where they had it. For some reason, I don't know why. So you're allowed to go ahead and do so, only if it's a maaseh hedyot. Only if you're not going to do it in a professional manner. Avalo ma'ase uman, not professionally. So an amateur, somebody who's not a real carpenter, can go ahead and put up a fence. So go ahead and try it. You're not a carpenter. You're not an iron smith man. So you're going to put up a fence yourself. You can imagine what it's going to look like and how safe and secure it's going to be. But anyhow, that's what the Mishnah says. Now, the Ritva elaborates and says that which we are talking about, a ma'ake here, is not in line with the pasuk that I just read to you from Parshas Kisetzeh. It is not talking about the ma'ake that is used l'shem mitzvah. It is not. Because, number one, a mirpeset is not chayiv in a ma'ake, al pidin. Only as the pasuk says, ve'asisa ma'ake ligagecha, only on the roof. The mirpeset is not chayiv in a ma'ake. There is some logic to it as to why, because the mirpeset in the time of the Mishnah was not used very frequently. People didn't frequent it. So therefore the Torah did not impose an obligation of putting in a ma'ake. The gag in the time of the Chumash and the Mishnah was used frequently. And as a result, that's where the Torah looked for protection for anybody who might be on the roof. We have Mishnayis and Psachim that talk about whether Gagos and Alios were Nitkadesh with Kedushas Yerushalayim. Are you allowed to eat Korban Pesach on the roof of your house, or is it only the ground floor which touches the streets of Yerushalayim you're allowed to eat? But you can't eat Korban Pesach, which is Kachim Kalim. You have to eat it within the walls of Yerushalayim. You can't eat it on the roof. So there's a whole discussion whether Gagos Va'alios Niskadshu or lo niskachu. So that's number one. Point number two, says the Meiri, says the Ritva, The Yerushalmi writes that the Gag only requires a ma'ake. This Gag only requires a ma'ake of 3 tvachim. Now, if we were talking about the ma'akeh l'shem mitzvah, then undoubtedly you would need 10 tfachim, because the minimal amount of mechitza b'chol ha-Torah kula is 10 tfachim. We find that all over the joint. For example, in Hilchos Shabbos, if you want to know what constitutes a mechitza for a wall to create a divide between Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaYachid, 3 walls that are 10 tefachim high create a Rishus HaYachid. A mechitza for a sukkah only has to have 10 tefachim high. The rest can be just a pole, and you can put your schach up on the top, the whole sukkah remains open. That's fine. A mechitza for a Beit Knesset, the Rav always said, if it halachically qualifies as a mechitza, asara tefachim, that's 40 inches, 3 feet 4 inches, you're allowed to daven there. It's very, very low, very low, and you're allowed to daven there. I once got had to rely on the Rav. One of my first jobs is davening. As a Baal Musaf, I was about 17 years old, and they hired me simply by sending in a tape. I was never at the shul. It was a shul in Astoria, Queens. I come to the shul, the mechitz is like about down to here. I said, all right, why are you having a daven here with Shanim Kippur? But then I measured it. It was 10 tefachim. Okay, the Rav said, you can daven. I daven there. That was it. So the Rishalmi here says that this particular mechitza, which we put up on, only has to be 3 tefachim. Hence, says the Ritva, it could not be done for the purpose of the mitzvah. So why are you putting up a fence if it's not for the purpose of a mitzvah? Well, there are 2 other purposes which he wants. Number one, tzniut. If you don't want anybody, if you want to sit there in your bathing suit, you don't want anybody looking at you on their roof, so what do? You put up a little fence. That's all. So people shouldn't look in. Or it's designed for shimur purposes. If you have a mirpeset that's not that high up, and then Ganuv can go ahead, just take a little ladder, climb in and get into the house. So like this, you put up another fence with barbed wire, and he can't get in. So it can be done either l'shem tzniut or shmira, but not for the purpose of being mekayim the mitzvah. So says the Ritva. And as a result, he says that since we're not dealing with the mitzvah, the halacha allows you, the Yerushalmi allows you, that if you're doing it l'shem tzniut or shimur, 3 tefachim is more than adequate. More than adequate. But you don't have to put the full 10 tefachim on it. However, if it is l'shem mitzvah, and now I quote the Ritva, I believe we have it right here. Take a look at the page number 1. Line number 2. The ode, de'i mishu mitzvas ma'ake, lama lo ye'ase kidarko. Why can't it be done professionally? After all, you're being mekayim a mitzvah. And the assumption which the Ritva makes, not everyone's going to agree with him, the assumption which the Ritva makes is that if it's the tzorech mitzvah, you don't have to do things as a head yot, you can do things as an uman. This is shitas haritva. What? Okay, so we'll see in 2 seconds that there is a Chazon Ish who says that the logic is counterintuitive. I'll get to it in a couple of minutes. That the Gag, that the Ma'ake which you put on the Gag is not to protect life. I'll tell you in just a couple of seconds. Just Legis Arayin and Keshel. However, if you, that's what the Ritva says. Any time that it's litzorich mitzvah, under those circumstances, you can do it kedarkai. Yes?
I understand. What about this case? Why did you do this in Yom
Kippur? Is that your duty? Because you don't need sanua.
Is that in the category that we have to do it?
Okay. No, we did. Well, this is what, according to Ritva, that's what the mission is being marked here. That for tzniut purposes or shimur purposes, you're allowed to do it on kol
shamoi. Adding another category.
Correct. Adding another category. Take a look at the Bir Halacha on page number 2, who quotes the Ritva and tells us he's wrong. V'chein imasa ma'akeh. Ayin b'chidushi haridva shekosav demasnisin mayri begag delo regili lahaloch ba she'eno chayiv b'ma'akeh. The Ritva has another, I didn't tell it to yet, should have read it inside the Ritva on the first page, that he believes that it's a ma'ak, it's a gag which is not frequented by a lot of people. That's why al-pidin, it does not require a ma'ake in the first place. That in itself, which the Ritva did say on the first Baal Shoti inside, is an enormous chiddush. Where does the Torah indicate that the only type of ma'ake, the only type of gag, right? Vasisa ma'ake l'gagecha happens to be that's frequented a lot by trout. Doesn't say that in the text. That's read into by the Ritva. That if you have, most people don't go on the roof. There are flat roofs today someplace. Not many here in our country, but in Israel there still are plenty of houses with the flat roofs. If they're not frequented, it doesn't need one al-pidin. Ela shehu be'atzmo rotzeh la'asot mishum shmira. Ulefikach amru b'Yerushalmi desagi b'gimel tfachah. Therefore, they said in Yerushalmi that this particular ma'akeh only has to be gimel tefachah. Te'i mishum mitzvas ma'akeh lomo lo ye'aser kedarkai ayein sham. Take a look at the Ritva. Avo shari haposkim sasmu bazeh v'lo chilku. All other poskim didn't say that. Did not say that. And it makes no difference whether or not what it's being done litzorech mitzvah or not. You're not allowed to engage in ma'asei uman on Chol HaShomoed under any circumstances. Kacha omer habir halacha. Who are these people who disagree? Who are these who disagree? Where can we find a proof to support the Ritva that if it's l'shem mitzvah, you're allowed to do so in its normal fashion? If you'll open up to Daf Yutes Omer Aleph for just a moment, get to it soon. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, top of the page on Yutes Amar Av, Kosev Adam Tfilin Umezuzah La'atzma. Somebody doesn't have a pair of tfilin. Doesn't have. And Lo Yalaini, he wears tfilin on Chol HaShomoed. He wears tfilin on Chol HaShomoed. Right? He's a real yeshivish guy. He's a Ramonik. The Rama says he's supposed to wear tefillin. Rama even says you make a bracha on tefillin on Chol HaShomoed. A lot of people follow the Chassidish minhag, and we don't wear, myself included, we don't wear tefillin on Chol HaShomoed. And the Gra, it's the one time that the Gra would shake hands with the Chassidish rebbes. The Gra also did not wear tefillin on Chol HaShomoed. But if you need tefillin, says the Mishnah, kosev adam tefillin. Now, what?
Okay? This is what's... Yeah, the Rambam would quote this. No, it's kosher if you wear tefillin.
Yeah.
But if you don't wear tefillin, you don't have... You're not allowed to write them. Yes, many claims it goes back to Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Yes. That's what many claim, that the minhagim about wearing tefillin chol shemoyed has its origins already in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael they wore tefillin, in Bavel they did not. On chol shemoyed. So, now, would anybody ever imagine that the Braisa would tell us to write tefillin Masei Hedron? Nobody would ever suggest something. You're going to write tefillin like sloppily or something? Not get somebody who knows, not to write it professionally? Of course you're going to write it professionally. So why are you allowed to do it? Because it's a tzarich mitzvah. So many Rishonim cite this, and it's surprising that the Ritva did not, but many Rishonim cite this Gemara and Daf Yutes as proof positive that for a mitzvah, for your Kiyam HaMitzvah, you're allowed to do something in its normal fashion. Because the Gemara never said that you have to write it with your left hand. If you're a righty, write the tefillin with your left hand. Al yidei shinui. We never find such a thing. So that would be the proof for the Ritva that if we had been talking about a ma'akeh l'shem mitzvah, then the Mishnah would not rule that it has to be ma'aseh hedyot, but could indeed be ma'aseh uman. However, the Rashba in Chuvos, in Chelik Dalad, Siman Shin Chaf Vav, page number 3. Let's read the Rashba. Sha'alta, Tzibur Shehayu Bonim Beit HaKnesset, Im Mutur Lahashlim B'chol HaMoed, B'pnei Sheyesh Bo Tzorech HaRabim. A tzibur that began construction of a Beit Knesset, and now they want to complete the job on Chol HaShomoed. O Dilma, Asur Sha'afilu Litzorech HaRabim, even if it is for the benefit of what? The entire of the Rabim, Kol Shehi Meleches Uman, Ve'enot Tzorech Kol Kach B'moed, anything which is an artist, a professional, and it's not absolutely compelling on Chol HaShomoed, Asur, O Nomar, or perhaps we could say, Kivon Sheyesh Bo Mitzvah, Mutter. Is there a mitzvah to build a Beit Knesset in a commune? Of course there is. So he's asking the question, do we allow the community to complete and build the Beit Knesset on Chol HaShomoed because there is a mitzvah? Or do we say absolutely not? Despite the fact that there is a mitzvah, we're never going to allow a ma'aseh uman, and that's something that you would never do, ma'aseh hedyot. You know, people don't build buildings unless you know exactly what you're doing, and you don't mess around with it. Tshuva responds, says the Rashba, Mistabroli, it appears to me, she'asur, kevan shehi meleches uman, it's not considered a davar ha'aved, and it's not considered something that you couldn't do without on Chol HaShomoed. Why? Sheyesh lahan bayit acher lehitpalel sham. Where does it say you have to daven in the new shul? Where were you davening the first day of Yontif? In the old shul. Or you're davening in somebody's house. No, we all know House Minyanim and Tinek, which are ridiculous. But anyhow, so go daven in those places. Where does it say you have to finish the Beit Knesset, and that's considered a Tzorech HaRabim? The Od Ani Mistapek, and furthermore, I mean, not 100% sure, Im hotiru tzorche rabim b'moed b'meleches uman yosem ritzorche yachid. Many a times when there are prohibitions, we limit the prohibition only for an individual. But for tzorche rabim, we allow it. For example, we sing Mayedidus on Shabbos, on Friday night. So in the fifth or sixth stanza, what does it say? Cheshbonos shel mitzvah. What does it say? Cheshbonos? What? What's the phrase there in Mayedidus? What's the phrase? I know it says the word cheshbonos. V'lachshov cheshbonot. Now, what type of cheshbonot are you allowed to engage in? So all the people who wrote commentary on the Siddur, they will say it's only cheshbonos shel rabbim. So you're allowed to have an appeal in the shul on Shabbos and Yontif, and the gabbai can take a mental note, he donated $1,000. When he comes to write his check, don't let him get away with chai kak. No. He gave $1,000. I remember he gave $1,000. So those cheshbonos shel mitzvah, shel rabbim, you're allowed to do on Chol HaShamoed. So it's only tzorchei rabbim. But not tzorchei rabbim, in your house, mathematics is 100% usur. To review math on Shabbos for an exam, I always tell kids, they ask me, I say, you're never allowed to do it. Because you're so tempted to write when it comes to mathematics, to get the problem down. There's a real gzeira shema yichtov. So you want to read a history book, a bio book, okay. But to do mathematics, undoubtedly prohibited. So here he's asking the question, would there be a distinction between tzorchei rabbim versus tzorchei yachid? He's not sure. But I think, he says, ela bidvarim hatzrichim leguf. When do we allow communal projects to continue on Chol HaShamoed? When it comes to benefit your body, not your soul. It's a very interesting distinction. Kidoin, for example, chafiras, boros, shichin, uma'oros, ukayotze bohen. Digging a well. A well. So the Gemara tells us in Chagiga that sometimes there were insufficient wells for the Oilei Regalim coming back and forth from Yerushalayim. So what did they do? They dug a new well on Chol HaShamoed. They dug a new well. Why? Because the Rabbim needed it. They were traveling home, it got very hot, they needed water. Or, Ukayotze Bahen, Bahasoras Hakotzim Min Hadrachim. If there were thorns out on the street, you're allowed to remove them. In your backyard, you shouldn't engage in that type of tircha on Yontif and Shabbos. But for the Tzorech HaRabim, we allow it, this type of thing, not only in Chol HaShamoed, but even on Yontif. V'tikun HaRechovot, and to repair, pave the streets, you're allowed to do that in Chol HaShamoed. Shebechol Eile, yesh bohen Tzorech Rabim, l'chayotam, v'lishmor mihanezokin, you can't expect everybody to do what? To be careful in the street, not to trip over that hole, not to trip over that rock, not to get stung with that thorn. Therefore, l'tzoyrech harabim, we are maker. But what type of tzoyrech? To protect them from what? Physical harm. V'afilu b'shabos hiter l'taltalom. Hakotz berushos harabim, or lolicho pachos miarbak amos. On Shabbos, you know, the kotz is muktzah. What use do you have out of a thorn bush? You don't have any use for it. It's muktzah. So what are you allowed to do? Move it less than 4 amos at a clip. So you move it 3 amos. Moving it 3 amos is not the usur midoraisa. Carrying in a street is only 4 amos and more. So you carry it 3 amos and you stop. You carry it 3 amos and you stop until you get to a Rosh HaYachid or put it into a sign. Ubekarmelis, and if we're not dealing with a Rosh HaRabin, a public thoroughfare, we're dealing with a Karmelis, which is 99.999% of the streets in this world. They are not Rishuyot HaRabim. Because we paskin, thank God, like Rashi, the Mechaber paskin against the Rambam, but like Rashi, that one of the definitions of a Rosh HaRabim is that you need 600,000 people trespassing daily. The Rambam doesn't have that. The Rambam says all you need is the street be 16 amot wide, approximately 24 feet wide, and that it be mifulash. It goes from one end of the town to the next end of the town, pretty much in a straight line. So Cedar Lane, according to the Rambam, is undoubtedly a Rishus HaRabim Midoraisa. Undoubtedly. Goes from one end, River Road, whoever it is, till you go down to the country club, and it's all straight, there are no turns. And once you have Rosh Hashanah, comes all kinds of problems. Putting up an Eruv, can't put up an Eruv in Rosh Hashanah, you need mechitzos. So it would create all kinds of problems. We pass in like Rashi, that it doesn't define a Rosh Hashanah unless you have. So all of our streets are Carmelists. In a Carmelist, you don't even have to play the little game of what? Moving it Gimel Amos. You can carry it as much, Afilu Tuva, carry it as much as you want. To get the physical danger away from the people. Kidei shelo yaziku barabim. Va'afilu lechabos gachele shel mateches. We even allow you to extinguish a piece of metal that happens to be burning hot. Burning hot. Va'afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Davar she'eno miska, malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa is chayev midoraisa, because what's the only reason why when you're not allowed to do kibui on Shabbos and Yontif? Under what circumstances are you not allowed to do kibui? When you want a gachel, when you want the charcoal to make pecham, mipnei shuosa pecham. That's the only time that's the malacha of kibui in the Mishkan. But if you're putting it out of fire because you don't want the house to burn down, that's a malacha shenitzricha legufa, where you do the malacha for a different purpose other than was subscribed to in the Mishkan. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that malacha shenitzricha legufa is chayiv on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Chayiv. But even Rabbi Yehuda allows you to take advantage of a malacha shenitzricha legufa. If what's your purpose? To save the rabbim from a potential danger. Ula Rabbi Shimon, afilu gacheles eish. Rabbi Shimon, who holds the malach shen tzricha gufa, is only asa midrabbanan. Not only are you allowed to extinguish a metal that is hot, even a regular coal fire, you're allowed to, which is the real derech, under those circumstances, you're allowed to extinguish it. Kedargar sina beperikira. Omar Shmuel. Mechabin gachela shamateches berushas harabim. Bishvil shelo yizoku bo harabim. So that the rabbim will not get damaged. Va'amrinan ha. Some of the Gemara says there. The bishel eitz, if it was a regular piece of wood that was on fire, lo mishum the svirulei b'malacha shein etzricha legufa ki Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So when you're dealing with something that normally burns, you normally find wood burning, then we're going to have to toe the line and paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. But if it's a gacheles shel mateches, that's not something that you find very frequent, metal in the street that's burning hot. Therefore, we'll take advantage and we will paskin under those circumstances against Rabbi Yehuda. Avol Rabbi Shimon, afilu gachelo shaleitz mechabin. But according to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to go ahead and extinguish, even made out of fire, out of wood, because it's not the conventional reason as to why kibui was done in the mikdash. Yeah. Vamrino nami hasam. Omar Rebbe, Hilkach, Kotz, Berushus Harabim, Molicho Pachos Pachos Me'arbams, Ubekarmas Afilu Tuva. V'chein Tikun Shomer Chatzos. You're allowed to fix the bathhouses on Cholo Shomoed. Why? Why? Because it's Hanas Haguf. Your body needs a bath before Yontif, before the second days of Yontif. Hence, we allow you to repair a bathhouse on Chol HaShomoed. He goes off on a little tangent. I want to go to the end, where he writes four lines from the bottom. The im toimar. The im toimar mikol makom lebinyan beis hakneses mitzvah ika.
Forget about the convenience that people have a place to shul, to daven. It's a mitzvah to build a Beit Knesset in every community.
Ukvar hitiru afilu liyachid mishum mitzvah kiksivas tefillin. We just looked at Daf Yutes. It says that even a yachid is allowed to write tefillin because it's a mitzvah to wear tefillin.
So why wouldn't I, Rashba, allow you to build a Beit Knesset for a rabbim on whose behalf there is a what? A mitzvah. Why wouldn't I allow it? What's the difference between tefillin and a Beit Knesset?
Answers the Rashba, Hasam Shani Ditzarech Lehem. There it's a little different, because without tefillin, you can't fulfill the mitzvah. It's a big chiddush. Without tefillin, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. The E.F. Shar Lo Liolam Afilu L'Sha'a Belohem. And you can't be walking around even for an hour or a minute without your tefillin. Aval bebeit haKnesset, efshar lohem below hu lehit kabeitz. In a Beit Knesset, you don't really need the Beit Knesset. What can you do? You can gather somewhere else. Ulehit palel b'makom acher. You can what? Gather somebody else, daven somewhere else. What does it say? You got to daven in this Beit Knesset? And then he also brings the proof that he's right. Viteda, delo mishum kol mitzvah hetiru. Not every mitzvah did Chazal allow you to perform on Chol HaShamoed. Shaharei osru lahagia afilu os achas afilu b'sefer Torah. We will learn this later. You are not permitted to repair, correct a Sefer Torah that has even one mistake in it. Afal gav de ikur mitzvah, even though there is a mitzvah. She'asur lishhos Sefer Torah she'eno muga. You are not permitted to have lying around a Sefer Torah that has not been corrected, based on the pasuk al tishkon be'ohalecha avla. Don't allow within your tent an avla, a wrongdoing. The Gemara in Ksubis darshens this, not to have a Sefer Torah that is in disrepair lying around. Why? Because then somebody is going to open it up to learn, he's going to see a letter missing, and he's going to misinterpret the word, and then who knows what Isurim he might violate because the Sefer Torah wasn't written properly. So as a result, says the Rashba, he turned down the request about building a Beit Knesset on Chol HaShamoed, and clearly disagrees with Ritva. The Ritva had said that if we are dealing with Ma'akeh L'Shem Mitzvah, you would undoubtedly be able to build it on Chol HaShamoed Ma'aseh Uman. The Rashba clearly disagrees. It's not every single mitzvah. Certain mitzvot we allow, and the dispensation that we allow for Tzorech Rabim has nothing to do with mitzvot. It's got to do with physical benefits such as the merchatzot and physical protection such as clearing the roads, repaving the roads, and removing thorns that might be in the street. So that's the machloikis, the Rashba versus the Ritva.
What does the Ritva say about the Torah?
What?
What does the Ritva say about the Torah?
About fixing it?
Yeah.
I don't know. He can't argue. It's a Gemara. That's a, he's got a Gemara again. I don't know.
You only have one Sefer Torah?
Then you're allowed to. Then you're allowed to, because that will facilitate Kriyas HaTorah. It's a mitzvah for everybody, for Kriyas HaTorah.
The Gemara assumes that you have another Sefer Torah.
That is correct. Now, the Chazon Ish, coming back to your point, in Yoredeya, Reish Yudalid writes that according to the Ritva, the type of house or roof, it's not on the sheet, I'm just telling you outside. I looked for the Chazon Ish online, I couldn't find it. The type of ma'akeh that is exempt from a the type of gag that is exempt from a ma'akeh is a bias a gag she'ein bo dira tachtav. It's a house with a roof, but there's no residence in this particular building. No residence. And he compares it to several others which are not chayiv in ma'akeh. For example, a bayis that is not more than 10 tfachim high is exempt from a ma'akeh. A bayis that does not have dalet al dalet, 4 tfachim by 4 amos by 4 amos, about 8 feet by 8 feet, is exempt from a ma'akeh. And a bayis which you don't live in it. So, for example, a Beit Knesset and a Beit Habakar, a place where you store your cattle, and a Beit Knesset. The roof of a Beit Knesset does not have to have a gag, a makeh placed on its roof. So that's what the Chazon Ish says is the running through the Ritva's mind. What type of gag are we talking about in our Mishnah? A gag which is not chayiv in the midst of makeh. Had it been a gag which is chayiv in the midst of makeh, as the Ritva himself said, of course I would tell you to do it. Asks the Chazon Ish, why is it that a Beit Knesset doesn't have to have a ma'akeh on it? Mamanoshah. If people walk up there, the same logic that you have to have a ma'akeh for the roof of your house, why wouldn't it be what? For the roof of what? Of the Beit Knesset. It's halach l'mayishim Sinai or something, that a roof of a shul doesn't require a ma'akeh?
Make an announcement. Poster, don't anybody go up on the roof.
Okay, but people did. They had their kiddush upstairs, and who knows what they did upstairs in the Beit Knesset on the roof. So he says the following. After all, writes the Chazon Ish, there is a Sifri in Parshas Kisetze which says that Bar Bechotzer is Chayiv in a Makeh. Bor, if you dig a hole in your backyard, you have to have a makeh. Why? Because people frequent your backyard. And if you frequent your backyard, they're going to walk right into the pit and they're going to kill themselves. So it depends on what? On what the use is. Who cares what it's a formal use? It's a Beit Knesset. It's not a bias shidorim ba. Who cares? So here he comes up with a chidush, exactly the opposite of what you were thinking. Says as follows. That alpi logic, you should never have to put a makeh on a roof. You know why? Because people are trained when they're on the roof to be careful. You know why they're trained? Because they know what can happen. They watch television. And what happens? Somebody gets pushed off the roof. He gets killed. So they know about it. So if not for the Torah being mechadesh, that you have to put a makeh on your gag, logic would dictate the only place where you must put a gag is where people don't typically walk. Where they do typically walk, such as on the roof, they're always trained. You train yourself. Don't go near the edge. Don't go near that edge. It's going to fall off. But if you typically don't walk in this, and you're not accustomed to what? To walking there you have to take and put a marker. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, that if you have a place where there is no dira, such as you know, it's less than dalet al dalet, or the roof is less than 10 tefachim off the ground, or a Beit Knesset, under those circumstances, you should have to, there is no chiyuv of makeh whatsoever, because the chiyuv is generated by the Torah as a big chiddush. Without the Torah's chiddush, I would say there's no chiyuv of makeh. Where is the only logical place that I would put a makeh? Where would I put a makeh? In a place where you are accustomed to walking and you're not trained to stay away from it. In taking that sifri that says a bar b'chatzer needs a makeh, oh yes. You know why? Typically you walk in the chatzer and you don't necessarily expect that what's in the chatzer, a bar, a pit. Therefore it needs a makeh. So that type of situation requires a makeh. But a house where there is no resident in it, any of those situations doesn't need. Because the logic is that no roof, even if it's 50 feet high, doesn't require. It's only chiddush, a chiddush of Torah. So when do we apply the chiddush of the Torah? When the normal conditions meet. When are the normal conditions met? In a residential home. A Beit Knesset is not a residential home. A Beit HaBakar is not a residential home. Therefore, he says, they don't require a makeh. So then why does the Gemara talk about putting up, why does the Yerushalmi say you should put up a makeh of Gimel? Why? Says the Chazon Ish, because we have to split the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk just says, Ki sivne bayis chadash, v'asisa makeh legagecha. Put a period there. Now the Torah talks about something else. That is only what type of gag, the way he just defined it? A gag, a residential gag. Now comes another chiddush of the Torah. Ki yipol hanofel. What happens if somebody falls into anything? Even though it's not chayiv mida oraisa in a ma'akeh. What's going to happen? V'lo sasim damim b'veisecha. You're going to be responsible. So how do you take care of your responsibility? Putting up a little three tefachim fence. Trust me, the three tefachim is not going to prevent anybody from falling over. But what does it sign? What does it accomplish? A heker. It reminds you what's happening. Be careful. Be careful. So therefore the Yerushalmi says, for a heker purposes, all you need is three tefachim. But what type of? But if there are certain roofs for which there is no obligation whatsoever to put a makeh, if it's not a base dira, and the entire institution of makeh is a chiddush atzum of the Torah, because logic would dictate that the only place where you don't need a makeh is up on your roof, because we've been trained by our mothers. Don't go up on the roof. You're going to fall off. Be careful. Be careful. Yeah.
So you would agree, though, if you had a flat roof on your house and the fence fell down on Yantif, the whole moment you have an obligation to fix it.
That's correct.
And Masa Uman then, right?
Masa Uman, 100%. And that's correct. And the Ritva says, the Ritva can't bring any proofs from our Mishnah. That's correct. Exactly like the Ritva. Correct. He's saying his commentary in the Ritva, 100%. Let's continue the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Shofin es hasidokin, you are allowed to go ahead and close up the cracks. Uma'agilin, O son, b'ma'agila, b'yad u'beregel, avalo b'melchotzayim. You're allowed to take a roller that's made out of, doesn't say what it's made out of yet, the Gemara will talk about that, that you're allowed to put a roller on it to smooth down the cement that you're using to what? To repair the cracks. Now Rashi says, where are these cracks to be found? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says the Mishnah Shofen Asdokin. Where does Rashi say? Shebetanur. Your oven was cracking. That's what Rashi says. Your oven was cracking. So virtually all Rishonim ask the question. The previous Gemara said, we learned it last week, Ma'amidin es hatanur b'choloshamoed. You're allowed to assemble a what? A tanur on choloshamoed. Well, if you're allowed to assemble a tanur on choloshamoed, kal v'chomer, ben benoy shel kal v'chomer, that a tanur that is already assembled, what are you allowed to do? Fix a crack. No doubt. Therefore, almost all Rishonim, the Ritva and the Me'iri, let me see if I photostated that. No, I didn't. The Ritva and the Me'iri both say that it's talking about cracks on your roof. On your roof. And in fact, I have the Ritva here. That one? Yeah, okay. Yeah, where is that? Yes, yes, on page number one. Shofen Asdokin, back to page number one. Perush. Kishaose mitnei chashash hagishomim. Here the Ritva adds something else. It's not that it's raining in already. It's that you're worried that if it starts raining, it's going to start raking into the house. Aval imbohu gishomim mamish va'adayin yidlof habayis. If it's already raining and the house is already damp and moist, Ose kedarko, then you can do it any way you'd like. She'ein adam dor b'moed b'dira srucha. You don't live on cholomoed in a house that schmack, that stinks, and that's moldy. You don't do that. So therefore, you're allowed to fix it. Va'od, he knew very well, the Ritva. Leakage in the house is terribly financially expensive. There is no greater davar ha'aved than preventing what? Leakage into your house, which could cause enormous problems when they got to start tearing apart the roof and the walls. Yeah. So that's what he claims. Rashi on the Rif happens to agree with the Ritva. It's only the Rashi in the Gemara. And I still haven't tracked down, I got to ask these historians and amateurs, who put the Rashi on the Rif there? I always thought that Rashi, I know Rashi never wrote a commentary on the Rif, that I know. I always thought that whoever it was, the printer, took the Rashi that we have in the Gemara, because it's 99% of the time the exact same thing, and he just printed it next to the Rif, because it looks like the Gemara, so I'm going to put Rashi there too. But there are half a dozen times, a little more than half a time, there are several times, when the Rashi on the Rif is not exactly the Rashi we have in the Gemara. So I don't know who did that, who changed it. Did Rashi himself do it? I don't know. So if you know historians in Shul, you can ask them, how did Rashi in the Rif appear? But that's the Ritva disagrees with Rashi. And what else are you allowed to do? You're allowed to be ma'agilin osan b'ma'agila b'yad u'beregel ababalo mechlatzayim. You're allowed to use some type of roller, but not the regular roller which is used for smoothing out cement. That's what the mechlatzayim is. How do they translate it there? The mechlatzayim, what kind of utensil is it? What?
They don't translate it.
Oh, nice. Is there a note there, maybe?
It's a wooden trowel.
A trowel?
Trowel.
I never heard of a trowel before. Yeah? That's what it is, a wooden roller. Okay.
it's a roller.
It's okay. It's that's. It's got to be a roller. That's what. It's not a roller. So what do you do with it?
You just smooth out.
You smooth out. Oh, you smooth it out. Okay. Okay. That you can't use on Chol HaShamoed. So the Gemara will elaborate. We'll get to that when we get to the Gemara. The Gemara will elaborate. What does this mean? Magilin also biyadu beregel. What does it mean? You do it by... Does it mean you only smooth it out with your hand? Or does it mean something separate? Because it says, umagilo so bima'agila biyadu beregel. What does that mean? Bima'agila biyadu... Looks like there are three things that you're allowed to use. A ma'agila, your yad, or your regel. The Gemara will talk about that. Hatsir v'hatsinor... V'hakore v'hamanul v'hamafteach shenishperu misaknon b'moed. If you have a door that is attached on the bottom with the hinge, and it broke, the hinge broke, and the door's not staying on, and the one of them, the tzir and the tzinor, one is the hinge, and the other one is the little hole where the hinge goes in, or a beam, a cross beam in your house, or the lock, the man'ul, or mafteach, your keys, which break, you're allowed to what? Fix them on Chol HaShamoed. Many Rishonim claim that the reason is because it's to avoid Dover Ha'avad. Because if the door is not securely locked, Ganavim are going to come in, and then it'll be a real Dover HaAvad. So in order to prevent that Dover HaAvad, you're allowed to repair any of these items. Shumisak bilvad shelo yiskavin lasus malachta b'moe. Provided that what? That if it took place on Erev Yontif, you don't say, hey, the Mishnah said I'm allowed to do it. What I have to bother Erev Yontif for? I'll do it on Chol HaShamoed. Why would anybody want to do that when you're dealing with a potential situation that a robber is going to come in? I have no idea. But let's assume he's in a safe neighborhood. He's not really worried too much. I don't know. But that's what the Mishnah says. The Gemara will elaborate as well. V'chol kivashin shehu yachol le'echol mehen b'moed kovshan. You're allowed, kovush is to soak. Where you take a vegetable, a fruit, and you marinate it for 24 hours and beyond. So the Mishnah says, any time that you want to marinate something on Chol HaShamoed, as long as there is an opportunity to eat this marinated item on Chol HaShamoed, or Yontif, you're allowed to do so. But if it's going to take longer, if you have to marinate it for a week, and then Yontif is going to be over, and you're first going to partake of it on Chol HaShamoed, under those circumstances, it is asur. It is asur. Take page number 4 for a minute. This is the Eg Letal. Eg Letal on Meleches Ofer. Eli Tal was one of the Chassidish people who the Rav said, Erica can't learn him. He knew how to learn. The Rav used to learn Eli Tal a lot. So he said, Farta Chassid, but I can't learn him. So in where it says the Lamed in the middle, HaKovesh Kivashim Asur, we're talking about Shabbos and Yontif, B'nei Shehu Kimavashel. The halacha is that if something soaks for 24 hours, it's halachically considered bishul, and bishul is asur on Shabbos. Not on Yontif, but it's asur on Shabbos. Here we're talking about Shabbos. Same thing, now says the Eg Letal on the right-hand side. Mimneishu kimivasha. Din hakovish kivasha. Hinei bishas moed katan, we just read. Mivuar, the asur lichbosh kvashim. You're not allowed to soak and marinate vegetables or fruit which are not going to be used on Chol HaMoed Yontif. Michlal, inference, the melacha hi al kol panim midrabanan. Must be that kavush halachically is considered a malacha mitarabana. Why? Ditircha below malacha, we never saw this Tosis yet, but he's going to quote it. Nistapku hatoisis, Perik Beis, the Moed Katan, Yud Beis Amid Beis, in a couple of Dapim, Im Asur B'moe. Now, we have spent how many, at least a year, 2 years, we're doing Moed Katan, and how many times did we say that something is Asur because of what? Tircha Yaseira. So the key might be the word Yaseira. Tircha Yaseira. Tosfos claims that if it's not tircha yaseira, just tircha, just doing something for no reason whatsoever, if there's no melacha involved, tircha is mutter on chalosh ha-moed. So what does it take to marinate something? You take the plum, or you take the vegetable, and you put it into the salt water. Kreisa tircha. Ooh. Oh, you had to work so hard. Wow. That's not called tircha yaseira. Tosfos is of the opinion that tircha, not tircha yaseira, where it is not touching upon a malacha, happens to be mutter lechatchila on chalosh ha-moed. Hence, what conclusion, says the Egel Eitel, must you come to? That kavush, marinating, has a haril din of what? That it's mevushal. In fact, many ask what the source is. The Gemara says that kavush kemevushal dami all over the place. In Chulin, you have it all the time. You take a piece of meat, just throw it into the pot with a pot of milk. No, I didn't turn the flame on. What's the halacha? So if it's less than 24 hours, you take the piece of meat out, you wash it off, and you eat it. And you drink the milk. And that's it. No problems. But if it's 24 hours, it's halacha of bishul, and we consider it a violation. Mitarabanan of loy sevashal gediba chalevimo. Everybody wants this. What's the source of? How do I know that kavushes kimevashal? So the Eglei Tal says our Gemara here, because if it would not be touching upon a malacha under those circumstances, since there is no tircha yaseira, it would be mutter on cholol shomoed. The Harambam Perik Chav Beis, Mehilcha Shabbos Kosav, the Mutter Lemloach Beitza, you're allowed to salt an egg on Shabbos, the Osa Lemloach Tznon, but you're not allowed to salt a radish. Because apparently they used to really pickle radishes, Mishum Denira Kikovesh Kvashim, the Hakovesh Osur, Shahakovesh Kimavashel. So the Rambam says certain things, even just salting, might reflect looking like that you're going to do already what? Marinating, and therefore it's asur, because marinating itself would be asur mishum mevashe. Asur mishum mevashe. Yes?
What is the central text? Is this Shulchan Aruch?
No. Actually, I don't know. It's a good question. I think it's all the Eglei Tal. Yeah, I think it's all the Eglei Tal. Because it's not following any order in Shulchan Aruch. This is his own classification. Yeah. A what? Kim of Hashem. It's because it's preparing it to be eaten in a certain fashion. What does Bishul do? Take something that is not typically eaten raw, and I do it here. Apparently, this is the way they used to. I don't know why it's called. I didn't look that up. Why the halach is that kavush is kim of Hashem? That I don't know, but it is. What? Yeah, but it could be, if you're dealing with a radish could be edible, even if it's not, you know, if they marinated anything, any vegetable, theoretically you can eat any vegetable raw, in theory.
You can pickle fish and eat it,
Fish you could, fish?
Fish, yeah. That you can eat raw, you can
and eat once it's picked.
That's correct. So fish, no doubt. That's correct. Right? No doubt. But a pickle, you can eat a pickle before it was pickled. So. All right, we'll stop here. We've got a Giant game tonight. We'll stop here.